So,
back from the dead.
The sleeper has awoken.
And he sounds better?
Went in a broken man, came out.
What the hell?
Came out 99 to 100.
We are back in a big, big way. This is Mostly Music.
I am. And will always be the low spark.
And I am Ignatius Palafox, but today isn't about me. It's about, well, this guy coming back quite literally from the dead.
Survival of the unfit.
The last time I saw you, you were very unfit.
I was dead, bro. I was dying.
We're on the fourth floor. Apartment here, studio, let's say, the music studio here. It took you about 15 minutes to walk up four flights of stairs last time.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know, you are in a literal coma in the ICU. What the hell happened?
COVID.
Real.
Yeah. Chemically induced coma. I went to go get my vaccination. And I woke up in the fucking hospital.
You got a hot shot or what?
No. That's just... I was dying, dude. They found me pretty much not breathing.
Now, for those who don't remember or are new to the show, you have, the last few episodes, been dealing with edema and complications.
Well, I thought it was that. It was retention of fluid. But it wasn't kidneys.
You were swollen up all over.
That's right. It was head to toe, rooted to the tooter. Pancreatic issues.
Wow. Pre-diabetic pancreatic issues. You see what we do for you guys at home? This guy is on his deathbed, doing shows, putting me at risk. By the way, we do not do this remotely. But it turns out you weren't, because it was something else going on inside. And then you go in to get a vaccine, and you wake up somewhere else.
Well, the story is, I go to urgent care. I'm feeling quite right. Doc tests me. This is my third COVID test. Comes in. She's like, oh, you have COVID. And it's really fucking legit.
Jesus.
Don't remember any of that conversation. Apparently, I make it to the hospital on my own accord. I get turned away. I make it home with an Uber or something. And then my mom finds me passing out, half dead. Luckily, she's a retired nurse. She checks my oxygen, checks my vitals, calls an ambulance. I wake up in the hospital weeks later from a coma.
What the? How did your mom even know to check on you?
Apparently I texted and called her while I was still coherent. I remember none of this. None of it.
Wow.
And in my freezer, I come back. So weeks later, I come back, I check my freezer. I'd written down passwords and codes and where to find spare keys for my brother to find. So I was like coherent enough to set up shit. Because I thought I was dying, I guess.
It sounds like you were dying.
I desat a few times.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so then you wake up weeks later.
Yeah.
Yeah, at this point, I had found out. I didn't know what the hell was going on. You had not looked great. Although I will say, you know, now I okay. Well, first of all, shouldn't you still be in the hospital? This is just like a couple weeks ago.
They said,
doesn't it take a lot longer to recover from?
I was intubated, all that shit, the fucking, you know, tubes down the throat, feeding IV, tube. Everything, you know.
You got a trach scar now.
Blood tests every day. They slid over my throat, slid down a tube. Didn't know how to walk. Couldn't speak. Couldn't eat through my mouth, drink through my mouth. Couldn't breathe on my own. And you're supposed to have months and months of rehabilitation. And one night, I was talking over my trachea tube.
Is that even possible?
You're not supposed to be.
Jeez.
I wake up and I'm like, whoa, I can hear my own voice. And I start yelling to the nurses, you know, get me a fucking doctor right now. And the doctor rushes in. It's like 3 a.m, flashlight on her head because all the lights are still out. You know, and she's like, we got to get this trach out of you right away. She ends up unstitching me cold, raw. They don't take the time to get a local in. They Jesus. Just go. She's like, all right, knuckle up because this is all coming out. Pulls out my trach tube, puts in a smaller one, sutures it up. I can still talk if I take deep breaths and hold it. And she's like, this will do till morning and we'll test you. And the stitching was done cold. Like, there was no
Rambo
local.
Style. Good
yeah. Lord. She's like, I can shoot you with fentanyl, but
good God.
It's gonna late. I was like, no drugs, just do it. So I bear down. She sews me up. And I wait for her to come back the next day. She says, talk. I talk. She says, all right, we'll send you a respiratory therapist and we'll have them give you a swallow test.
Ooh, but you're into
for
that.
For the first time in weeks, I could swallow my own fluid. And they gave me a meal that night and said, looks like you're getting out of here if you can walk.
Good Lord.
So I went from months of rehab to you'll be out in a week.
And then you were out in a week.
I was out. I was able to walk on my own a little bit, breathe on my own mostly.
Good God. This is not normal, I would imagine.
It's not an average thing. I'm not saying I'm special. I'm just lucky, you know? What the fucked up part was, you look around for a couple weeks while you're in the ICU, semi-lucid, having nightmares and shit, and you're kind of awake, you know? And the nurses and the doctor let you know that you're the only one that's awake. Everyone else is either half dead, dying, or just never, you know, they're never going to wake up again.
There's no pitter-patter. There's no chit-chat. All you hear is the beeping of the machines.
That's it. Beep. That's beep. That's all heavy. Day, bro. And then
that's heavy.
The nurses there were like, in the year so far, only a few made it out of the ICU. In my head, I'm thinking, that's not the numbers I'm hearing in media, you know, on social networking and friends. It's like you're hearing, oh, you got a good chance. Not a lot of people are dying. Like, no, no, no.
They're almost all, so you're saying out of like the hundreds or so that they've seen, only a handful actually walked out of there.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Well, you can't keep a good spark down. And I will say, your voice, it sounds better. You went in there dead. You're slurring like Nicolas Cage in Leaving Las Vegas. You come
out.
The last
bad.
Few episodes.
They even fixed my slow urination.
Wow.
I suffered from that for like 15 years.
Jeez. So what's the moral of the story here? Don't eat so much pizza.
Don't eat too much. Don't be on a first name basis with the delivery guy. While playing Call of Duty with a sedentary lifestyle.
Good God.
Dude, it was fucking.
So it was just, it was like a culmination of many things that all hit you all at once.
It's just a bad circumstance just colliding into another, you know? I mean, I take full custody of blame is it was my addiction and weakness to like oral fixation and food and shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's just seasonal depression, which I've suffered from my whole life. And now it's like, one, I come out healthier than I've been in 2 years, lost 40 pounds, corrected my posture.
Yeah, you seem taller.
Taller.
I can actually see the knuckles on your hands now.
Dude, I don't have to wear retention socks or any of that shit I was wearing, I've lowered 3 notches on my belt. I made up your stairs slowly because of fatigue,
Yeah, you weren't huffing and puffing this time.
But I was talking through the staircase. Yeah. I was walking at normal speed when I reached the top of the staircase. I have the stamina and the energy, but the body fatigue is real. My muscles are learning how to move again in sync,
Now, when you were in the coma,
yeah,
and now when you're thinking back, are you concerned about any overly sex crazed orderly that might have kill billed you while you were,
Funny you asked. I was having weird. I guess they were sponge bathing me in my sleep and like changing. Like, I thought I was getting raped in a prison. I had a dream about that. It was weird. I just had these weird nightmares. I had nightmares that I knew who had it in for me, that I had head surgery because someone hit me over the head with a pipe. I had enemies that stole my. I was having weird nightmares. People going through my private shit. I was like.
Did you like travel to different astral planes? Did you have any NDEs, any near-death experiences? Visions?
Visions, yeah. Which is weird. I kind of don't feel comfortable talking about it, but I'll share one. So I kept having this image of fire in my left eye. And then a comfortable pistachio green in my right. And it was blurry, but when it came into focus, the fire, I guess, in my left eye kind of put itself out. And I got a full image of me on a train. And my best friend Kenny was maneuvering this train and kicking off people in the back door and said, "Hop on, baby. We're taking this bitch to the end of the line." Shirt off, flexing his butt. Like, Kenny's built. We've talked about him before.
Yeah.
And then I end up at a bar, passed out. And from what I remember, I'm just wasted. I just lost a drinking game. And the bartender's waking me up saying, "You got to wake up and hop on this next train or you're going to miss it." And, I don't know, man. I was just connected to a few people in my life. This message in my head's like, "Wake the fuck up!"
Like, literally, figuratively.
Yeah. And I'm kicking because I got to make the next connection to this train. And that pistachio green is a cake. And I don't know why this cake is like a marzipan cake, and it keeps repeating itself. "Don't eat the birthday cake. Don't eat the birthday cake." And I wake up and I'm looking up and the doctor's like, "You've been asleep for a long time." And I'm like, "Holy shit, where the fuck am I?" And my leg is kicking. And I look over and Steven Seagal's staring at me. There's a photo of Steven Seagal posted up next to photos of my family staring at me. I'm like, in my head, why is Steven Seagal staring at me? This is an inside joke that my brother had made the nurses do. And I look up and I see this IV that I'm attached to and the feeding thing of like food, And it's attached to this tube in my stomach. And it smells like birthday cake. It's really fucking weird. And I start getting flashes of my face painted like a clown. And I have a cherry on my nose. And I go to sleep and I have a nightmare of being eaten. as a Tom Petty music video where they're eating Dorothy, not Dorothy, Alice on the table as a birthday cake, and that's me. Like, in retrospect, it was weird. You know that video?
Yeah, good Lord.
Where he's the Mad Hatter. And
so you are the cake.
Yeah. And then I realized the music. There was a soundtrack to this, oddly enough. And apparently I was kicking on beat to Tom Petty's Free Falling.
I thought it was Don't Come Around Here No More.
Or that's the video. Yeah. I had that music video stuck in my head, but I'm the birthday cake. That's the nightmare I was
and
having.
And you're Free Falling.
And I wake up to Free Falling playing on the playlist.
Oh, it was actually playing.
Yeah, the nurse had put on the playlist because she saw that I was reacting to a playlist.
Wow. Probably not the best song to play to somebody who's in an existential crisis.
My brother, what kind of music I like. She was making a playlist for me. And she's like, I heard you like Tom Petty. She came around later that day. She's like, yeah, I put all that stuff on your playlist for you. And I'm like, nice. I woke up to Free Falling and I was kicking on beat to it. I think that's what woke me up.
And then I'm back, baby. That was it. Yeah. Wow.
So
I'm assuming you brought a lot of material to the show today.
I did.
Given your...
A lot of hindsight music, you know? So we just... You've heard of Pop Smoke, the hip-hop artist?
Yeah, he's dead.
He was shot about a year ago.
Right.
In his own home, you know, inside job most likely. They stole a couple chains from him. Recently, on the anniversary, they desecrated his tomb. They exhumed him.
Who did? Some random thugs or crazy
people. And it looks like they stole some more jewelry off him and fucked around with him and his...
He had some enemies.
Or maybe just psychos that, like, were doing... I mean, we're talking, like, maybe worship shit. I don't know, dude.
Ooh. He's not from the South, though, right? He's from New York, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds like some Santeria stuff that you're talking about.
And I don't think you ever really played Pop Smoke before. And this kid was big, man.
Yeah. But
I was listening to him while in bed in the hospital. And for some reason, it hit home. I was like, you know, you do all these things in life, and it don't mean shit when you're gone.
That's true.
But you do leave a legacy. And that guy's always going to be a legend.
Even though he's only like 22 or something,
right? That's right, man.
Yeah.
So let's play a little.
What do you got for me?
For the Night, Pop Smoke.
I did some wrong, but I'm always right. Said I know how to shoot, and I know how to fight. If I tell you once, I'll tell you twice. I'm real discreet, like a thief in the night. Look, if I call you babe, you babe for the day, or babe for the night. You not my wife, she wanna kill her. So fuck all night. I wanna fuck on a thigh, give me head on nine. AP, big rocks, in the hood with the realest. 5K on a dinner, bring 300,000 to the dealer. I did some wrong, but I'm always right. Said I know how to shoot, and I know how to fight. If I tell you once, I'll tell you twice. I'm real discreet, like a thief in the night.
I'm rich, but I'm riding. I'm low on this attic. I'm about to fly out and go get me some. Nothing ain't sweet. All this money on me. 100 rats in the bag. That's 100 bun. Baby OG, I've been running these streets. Got a game from LaShawn on my mama's son. Learned about the triple cross when I was young. And I know I ain't going, so I keep a gun. I flew to Paris just to buy some Dior. She begging for attention, I don't see her. CIP pop, I wish that you can see us. Million cash plus whenever I go real. I got some niggas in the street won't beat me. I got the industry trying to beat me. I just go Ray Charles, they can't see me. I'm in a Rolls Royce with a Remy.
I did some wrong, but I'm always right. So I know how to shoot, and I know how to fight. If I tell you once, I'll tell you twice. I'm real discreet, like a thief in the night.
Yeah, like a thief in the night. I pull up, give a deep for the night. Tryna fuck in the VSI. We can't fuck up my seats cause they white. I'm living like Thriller, I only come out at the nighttime. She don't fuck with liquor, don't like being tipsy. She don't do the Henny, just white wine. Pop the cork on some new Pinot Grigio. I pull up in the Porsche with a freaky hoe. Park the Porsche and pull up in the Lambo. I hop out, Major Payne, rocking camo. Then she cute, make a fuck, let a man go. Like to shoot, light you up, bitch, I'm Rambo. Cuban link full of rocks, it's a choke. Rest in peace to the pop, make me smoke you.
I did some wrong, but I'm always right. So I know how to shoot, and I know how to fight. If I tell you once, I'll tell you twice. I'm real discreet, like a thief in the night.
Karate Kid, yeah. Dude. And people were like, how's that relevant? I'm like, yeah, it's very relevant, man. Like, you know, you think you leave your mark. You think you got things to do, places to go.
Mm.
And one day you fall asleep and...
That's it. The world keeps turning.
The world keeps going, bro.
Yeah.
I was sitting there quiet because you can't even talk. I'm like... I'm getting posts on my phone and like alert, text. The world keeps moving.
Yeah.
And eventually, you missed the train. It's gone. You know? I don't want to say, people go through the motions of mourning, but in the end, that doesn't mean shit. Because you don't exist. This guy left his mark. He's a legend. He's a hero. So what? He doesn't exist.
It's true. You know, we always celebrate the 27 club, right? That's right. I mean, he wasn't
even close to that. We don't celebrate it. We worship it.
In a sense, yeah. In a weird, macabre way, we do.
But it's not macabre. It's weird because it doesn't feel natural because you're young. What it is, it's true nature in itself. It's like... You know,
well, some people couldn't make it past. Like you think of like a Janis Joplin, or
it's just too bright.
I mean, even too bright. Yeah, Jimi Hendrix. You know that would have been fun to see him like on Chappelle's show or something. Yeah. You know, playing acoustic guitar and still just shredding.
Yeah,
like B.B. King played until his 90s.
Bob Dylan made it.
Bob Dylan he's still going. Yeah. Exactly. Well, see, but you know what? For him, it took a motorcycle accident.
Yeah, he should have died. Took him selling his soul.
Well,
hanging out with Woody Guthrie.
And by the way, if you sell your soul and you get that long of a career, hell, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it today. No, but he was freewheeling. That was bad. But you know what I mean. He was wild. He was kind of wild. He was going kind of crazy. He kind of like hated everybody because everybody wanted him to be something that he wasn't. And
yeah,
and then he got in that horrific motorcycle accident.
And he went electric.
And then he went to Woodstock for like a year and a half, and then lived with the band.
Yeah.
And made the basement tapes and essentially was a hermit.
He didn't play Woodstock, though.
No.
No.
No, because that was around that time, like 68, 69. Yeah. And then he reinvented himself. And then after that, it was just sort of like a, you know what, fuck you, fuck everybody. I'm going to do me.
You do you. Yeah.
And he had a country album, and he had a soft rock album. Then he had a Christian album as a Jew in the 80s. It's amazing. He has a Christmas album. That I still make my parents listen to when I go down for Christmas.
And quote unquote.
It's great stuff.
Quote unquote. One of my favorite quotes in a film is what he did and what Pop Smoke can't do is, and pretty much the lesson I was left with lying in that bed, can't move, can't sleep, can't eat, can't drink, is get busy living or get busy dying, bro. And I was not taking the 8 count. I come too many times close to dying.
Yeah, man, we've gone through your history of vigilantism on this show.
I've never told that story, not even on this show. I've refused to tell that story.
What story?
The TL stab story.
I'm pretty sure you've told that story.
Not on this show.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Well, you definitely told the
Hit
and run story.
The what?
The hit and run story.
Which one?
When you chased a guy through the streets of San Francisco.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
That one I told. But
when the guy
killed the homeless dude.
When the kids found out you were, when we didn't know, he was like, but he's Batman. Batman can't die.
The one where I got stabbed 8 times in the TL.
Yeah, you got the
key
to the city.
That sounds like a bullshit story. Oh, no. It's fucking true.
No, go to SF Gate.
If you scroll down.
Was that 2012, 13?
Yeah. Yeah.
Around there.
It'll be on the 28th is my anniversary. 9 years.
Really? So. All right, are you going to get into that story now?
Kind of don't want to.
No, don't worry about it. But you do have a nice little trach scar now on your neck. It looks like
it's almost healed.
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
We'll call it the Colombian necktie.
But that, you know, not many people get that opportunity, that second chance, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, you've had a few of those, but this is the biggest one.
This is not by choice.
And for some people, it's career. You know, some people it's life choices.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a powerful thing.
I thought I lost my muse a long time ago, but I'm pretty sure my muses woke me up. They're like, you got some shit to do. You got some goals to accomplish. You just need to wake the fuck up. Wake the fuck up. And I did, bro. I don't know. I know I didn't do it under my own strength because I was weakened.
But it sounds like you did.
Yeah, I was fighting. I was kicking, apparently, in my sleep, pulling out my leads, trying hard to get the fuck out of that chemically induced coma at the end. They were inducing my sleep because I kept fighting, but I wasn't breathing on my own. So.
Not everybody gets a second chance. Nobody gets a third chance. So.
No. All right.
That's it. Cut the pizza.
Nah, this is my fourth incident with near death. It would be wild if you get shot at, you know. You get into fights you're not supposed to make it out of.
Well, when you're born and raised in a city, especially a city like this.
The heart of that bullshit youthful error. You hear what happened to Spot'em Got'em? He got shot 5 times.
They got him?
They spotted him? And the motherfuckers got him. He was in critical, but they say he's going to make a full recovery.
50 Cent style?
Dude.
Miami drive-by show. Oh, but that was Detroit, I guess. But yeah, the Spot'em Got'em's.
Feeling like Suge shot me.
Jesus.
Oh. Damn, bro.
I didn't realize that Pop Smoke's middle name was Baraka. That's a dope name, man. That's
Mortal
cooler than
Kombat
Pop Smoke.
All day.
I know. We're also like
that
music movie
documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the sounds of the world. Sounds of the world.
I love that, man. That
dude. Dude, let's play that, dude.
I feel like you have played that on here, actually.
Have I?
I think so.
The ritualistic chants from those monks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I was going to... You know,
oh, did you say free falling? Yeah, I got free falling.
No. I was listening to some old shoegaze because I was thinking about this is like a low spark episode.
Oh, yeah, man.
And I came across a band that I used to listen to a lot that I just kind of fell off, I think, because they just stopped making albums. But then apparently they made they got back together like in 08 or 09 or something. I didn't hear about it. But anyway.
Slow Dive?
Swerve Driver.
Remember? Swerve Driver?
Yeah, you see?
You, okay.
The, yeah, you remember?
Yeah.
All right, so the figured, you know. Yeah.
It's funny, too. You're
all perked up now.
Not a lot of people know the term shoegaze. Just give yourself a day and watch the movie Beautiful Noise, and you'll never be the same. You'll be halfway to the low spark.
Well, the loyal listeners of Mostly Music all know.
All know the term shoegaze. Yeah, exactly. It's literally what it sounds like. Cue it up, dude. I'm ready.
All right. This is Swerve Driver. Duel is probably one of the more famous songs, but we're going there.
When I was skating Vomit Hills in the city, you would listen to some shoegaze.
This is a time machine.
You know?
This album, yeah.
It's like surfing a wave. I wasn't that big into surfing as a kid because, you know, you don't tame the ocean.
But well, to be a surfer in San Francisco, you got to be a bad motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's not like it is in Huntington Beach or whatever. It's these waves will pull you out and kill you.
Alive, dude. Yeah. But if you're going to be taking bombing the hills of San Francisco, you better.
Yeah.
Your kneecaps will be ghosted.
It's extreme.
Yeah. And listening to shoegaze, nothing else exists, Andy, except for asphalt, a whole lot of pain, and a whole lot of heartache.
Yeah, a few parked cars as well. This is off their, I think it's their second album, Mezcal Head. But, you know, they have a not necessarily a traditional shoegaze sound in that they're, it's not just, like, purely dreamy or ethereal. It's a little bit more muscular. You know, it's a little bit more, it's got a little bit more grunge to it, which is nice. It's kind of, it kind of bridges the gap. You know, I was watching Fear a couple weeks ago, you know, Marky Mark. And that, man, and by the way, that movie holds up.
It does hold up. The movie
holds up, man. But the soundtrack is so funny because it's just like, it's pure 90s. There's so much Bush in that movie.
Dude,
so much Bush's
greatest track ever. Oh, Gavin Rossdale, you heartbreaker. From the soundtrack of the movie... American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah. With
or Paris.
Tom Everett Scott.
Paris. American Werewolf in Paris.
Yeah, yeah.
The sequel.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
No, it is a sequel.
Is it? I mean...
Yeah, it is. Swallow.
Yeah.
From Ray, their greatest album, Razor Blade Suitcase. Dude, that album hurts so good. And I mean that.
That was on that? That's pretty funny.
Yeah, Razorblade Suitcase is one of the greatest albums of all time. Nothing hurts like your mouth. Yeah, Gavin Ross.
It was funny, man. Yeah, because I found myself like getting down to those tracks. It's really funny. Watch that movie. That movie's amazing, man. It's really good. Like a movie like that is just not going to get made nowadays.
You
I know,
can't.
Like, people
can't.
Say that a lot, but that dude, that one, it's creepy. Like, it's weird. It's like rapey. They kill a dog.
Yeah.
I mean, it just you don't see that. And I guess you didn't really see that back then. It's kind of a unicorn movie. Maybe Marky Mark's Apex. Maybe not.
No,
I really like The Big Hit. So, but
The Big Hit. I love Marky Mark and I Heart Huckabee.
Oh, yeah.
He's always in, like, his firefighter fatigues.
Yeah.
He's speaking, like, ethereal banter.
Yeah.
He's like, no, the meaning of love. He's constantly talking about the meaning of life. And I don't know.
Marky Mark is, you know, he used to be really good. I mean, I'm not saying he's not anymore, but the roles now, he's just getting pigeonholed, you know? He's a tough guy, but he used to play more nuanced roles, I guess. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just getting old.
Now, you know me very well.
It's a good movie, yeah.
You know my favorite artist, my favorite singer is Morrissey.
Sure.
Right? Since I was a kid.
Yeah.
My favorite track has always been How Soon Is Now. One, Morrissey's poetry, his ability to croon, and Johnny Marr, his skill in making that guitar cry. It sounds like a chicka 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 chicka, you know, like a train going through a tunnel. I love that shit. That's my favorite song. Most real Morrissey and Smiths fans fucking hate that song.
Really?
I don't know why. It's for me, it's perfect. And I realized the other day that's maybe my favorite song, but it's not their best song.
Well, that's true with a lot of artists, though, I think, you know. Like, there are songs that you just love, but then there are other songs that you know are objectively better.
Right? Yeah.
But, you know.
And, you know, you put all those things together, you rearrange them in your head, you know, his poetry, his shit personality, his ability to croon Johnny Marr playing a soft guitar instead of like melting your face with odd sound, you know. It's essentially like wearing your heart on your sleeve. It's straight shoegaze. True shoegaze.
Emo before emo.
It's without the noise, you know, without the beautiful noise.
Melodic.
You're left with Please, Please, Please Let Me Get What I Want from the Louder Than Bombs album. So we're going to go ahead and play that. For all you real Morrissey fans, here's the Smiths.
Wait, this is the song that you think is better? Isn't your favorite song.
I think it's their best song.
Oh, okay.
Not my favorite song, but it's their best.
Okay.
Good times for a change. See, the luck I've had can make a good man turn bad. So please, 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 let me get what I want this time. Haven't had a dream in a long time. See, the life I've had can make a good man bad. So for once in my life, let me get what I want. Lord knows it would be the first time. Lord knows it would be the first time.
Short and sweet. Short and motherfucking sweet.
Sometimes that's all you need.
That's all you need, man.
That's gonna make a lot of people happy right there.
It's gonna make a lot of people fucking cry. Maybe make a sad baby. I don't know. tearful.
A mournful fuck?
Mournful fuck with a tearful finish, dude. What makes the best lubrication? A man's tears.
I'm glad you said tears. Okay. That you're going somewhere else.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. No, that's great. So, man, I was a little bit, like, I can't tell if, no, you know what? I hear so much, I try to listen to all the new, as much new music as I possibly can, right? Listen to all the weekly hits, all the new stuff, right? So a couple months ago, when I thought we were going to be doing a show before, everything turned dark, I was listening to a bunch of stuff. And then Olivia Rodrigo's song, Good For You, popped up, right?
Yeah.
And it, like, and I took a step back. I was like, whoa, okay. I like this. It's weird, man. Like, am I too old for this? And second of all, am I wrong? I think it's really good. So then I listened. So then her whole album came out later, right? Because she had Driver's License, I think, came out first, and then a couple singles, and they all hit, right? And for pop music, and I have no idea who this chick was. I had never heard.
Yeah,
of her.
Yeah, she's crossover.
18 years old.
She's right? A crossover. Yeah. That's embracing her culture really tough.
She was a Disney star, right? Yeah. Apparently. So I'm sure everybody listening to this already knows this. I had no idea, right? And then in the myriad of pop songs and rap songs and pop songs, you know, and like a Spotify New Music Friday playlist, that song like stood out.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, what the fuck? Like, why am I, why do I like this so much, you know? And then then the album came out like a month later or so. And it's really good.
Okay.
So, I mean, last time you were wearing Billie Eilish socks, I believe.
No, it was a shirt.
A shirt, okay.
I love that bitch so much.
And there's a whole thing right there that came out of, I don't know, I'm saying that all came out of Taylor Swift, but, you know, Taylor Swift had like left an indelible mark on young girls.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 10 years ago or something.
I have a Taylor Swift shirt too.
Right. But I never really... got into it. I never really heard a song that like stuck with me. And to be honest,
Ryan Adams did. He redid her whole album.
Really?
1989.
That's her album?
Yeah. He covered her whole album. Oh, like, why the fuck is he doing that? He probably wanted to abuse her. But it was a good album. And he turned it into what he does.
That's true. So maybe it's just, maybe it's her arranging or something. I don't know. It always sounded a little too, like, the country stuff is fine. Then it just got a little bit too poppy. Anyway, Olivia Rodrigo, man, I can't believe I'm saying this. It's like, it's a great fucking album.
Just lay it on them.
It's a really, I mean, so in terms of like debut albums too.
Yeah.
You know, because it's 18. Very rare. 18. Man.
18.
She was probably like less than that, like 17 or something.
Wait
when the album
till
was
I start
made.
Playing Soak. Oh, you haven't heard of Soak. He's about 3-4 years old now. Yeah. In the industry.
Okay, yeah.
He should be about 18.
It's just, usually I'm, you know, I try not to be a grumpy old man, right? I try to be open-minded. And sometimes I hear stuff that's okay.
Just reach out into the void.
I was just pleasantly surprised by the instrumentality and the music involved. And the fact that, like, all the songs are different. And she writes them, which is nice. It's refreshing.
Nowadays, the music industry is like reaching your hand into like an ocean of sea. And you pull out, with your eyes closed, pearl.
Every once in a while,
Yeah,
everything is seemingly overly produced, and you know everything is quantized, and everything is you know that, and you know I want to talk about Charlie Watts a little bit later.
Okay,
in terms of you know not sticking to a set rubric, but anyway, I've been listening to this album like a lot. It's a weird as a middle-aged man.
I want to get John Peel's perspective on where music is today, but he's gone.
Yeah, well, you know, we are John Peel.
We are John Peel.
So anyway, so the first track on the album, Sour, is it's called Brutal. I'll play it.
Yeah,
but it's very reminiscent of another song that I'm sure you know.
Okay.
Which is also, you know, sort of not a ripoff, but anyway,
it's not a ripoff. It's shoegaze.
It's an homage.
But let's listen to this. Yeah.
So this is Brutal by Olivia Rodrigo.
I'm so caught up in the news of who likes me and who hates you. And I'm so tired that I might quit my job, start a new life. And they'd all be so disappointed, cause who am I if not exploited? And I'm so sick of 17, where's my fucking teenage dream? If someone tells me one more time, enjoy your youth, I'm gonna cry. And I don't stick up for myself, I'm anxious and nothing can help. And I wish I'd done this before, and I wish people liked me more. All I did was try my best. Brutal out here. I feel like no one wants me, and I hate the way I'm perceived. I only have two real friends, and lately I'm a nervous wreck, cause I love people I don't like, and I hate every song I write. And I'm not cool, and I'm not smart, and I can't even parallel park. All I did was try my best. Brutal out here. Just have a really good time. Got a broken ego, broken heart. God, I don't even.
Okay, so the new fashion is mid-90s, post-grunge, high-waisted mother's closet clothes. That beat is late 90s, early 2000s. That, I was thinking, okay. Luscious Jackson?
No. So it's been confirmed because he actually tweeted
sample.
A very, very rare tweet.
Okay.
From the artist.
The producer?
From the artist that she is paying homage to, in a sense.
Okay.
Because he, now I'm not going to say stole, but appropriated it from Bob Dylan.
Okay.
And Bob Dylan even chimed in.
Because it's ringing my bell
right now. Dude, it's, okay, what pop star in 2021 is paying homage to Elvis Costello?
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's why, because I just
watched... It's Pump It Up.
Yeah. And Luscious Jackson stole that from Elvis Costello.
It's incredible, man. Like, it blew my mind, because I was listening to this. I was like, why do I know this?
200 Cigarettes.
And it hooked me in so good. In terms of first tracks on debut albums, I mean, there's so many great ones. And it's weird to compare this with the pantheon of like Led Zeppelin and
by the way, I hate
Guns N' Roses. I mean, just, but it, well, okay, all right. So I'm gonna play Pump It Up.
The
right
Living
here.
Elvis, my dick.
So this is Pump It Up with Elvis Costello, right? Yeah. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun,
wait for it. Wait for it. Here we go. Ready? Yeah.
It was ringing my bell.
Yeah, but then he took this essentially, and he's admitted it from Subterranean Homesick Blues, from Bob Dylan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The phrasing and the cadence,
the stanza, beat,
the
where
staccato.
He's flipping the cards in the video,
yeah. And so it's just it's amazing. It blew my mind, man. That it transcends, you know, every couple of decades. I don't know. It just. So, and that's how the album starts, and every song is, like, really different, and it's poppy, it's punky.
It is.
It's a great album, man.
It's not polystyrene, rest in peace, and X-ray specs, where a woman belts out true fucking punk.
Right, oh no, and it's not supposed to be, she's not trying to be, she's...
I mean, you want to hear some fucking punk saxophone.
Well, no, it's okay, so the whole thing now is like very sort of moody and androgynous, and like Billie Eilish, who's dope, but like, you know, I feel like Olivia Rodrigo is more like embracing the femininity.
She is.
It's okay.
It's okay.
You know, yeah, I mean, this whole album is a breakup album.
The whole thing
is a breakup album.
It's like the Plasmatics. It's okay for Wendy O to... tape up her tits, go on stage and smash her face, and then go home and quote PETA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's okay to have two thoughts in your head at once.
Yeah.
It's okay to, you know, do things that you want to do.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just very impressed by an 18-year-old right now, and it's making me happy, and it's giving me hope.
Embrace what people put a negative connotation in femininity. Masculinity is okay. Femininity is okay. Just don't be toxic about your shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So
don't be the low spark.
The low spark has changed. He's a changed man.
So I'm not going to drag this down with more shoegazy yet. I'll save that later in the episode.
Yeah.
I want to play a little more upbeat.
Yeah.
You know, a little more hip hop. Because this is, pass me a Corona.
Are you allowed to drink this?
One or two. Don't tell me. Anymore.
We do not do this show remotely.
No.
You're welcome. All right.
This is...
Switching gears, or are you going to stay...
You know, let's play Mooski's Trackstar. I love that hit.
You got it ready?
Yeah, it's when you're trying to catch that girl that's so deep in the game, but you just can't keep up because too busy simping on your pimping.
I think I know what that means, but I'm just gonna go ahead and let you play that.
Means.
this happened before.
Never had this happen before.
Heartbreak so deep. Heart broke so deep it broke into a melody that day.
She's a runner, she's a track star. She gon' run away when it gets hard. She can't take the pain, she can't get scarred. She hurt anyone that gets involved. Don't wanna commit, why take it this far? She gon' do the race, just not this one. Love is a game you used to cheer for. When I was down to talk, you weren't here for. You woo-woo-woo. Leave a trail of heartbreak and heartache like it cool. I guess way too late, it's convenient for you. The dirt you left don't turn in the dust, it don't move. It's been waiting for you. Girl, you're killing me, you're tweaking all. I asked you what you feeling, you don't speak at all. But you go straight to Twitter, you gon' tweet it all. You must want another nigga to be alone.
What you want to see?
We was supposed to fight, I ain't through the storm. You made a decision, chose the easy one. Say you following your heart, but girl, you leaving one. Wanted me to take you back with open reaching on.
And I can't do that, mommy.
Lost for words, let it hurt.
Setting my heart on fire, setting my heart on fire.
Put you first, show you your worth.
Gave you whatever you desire, gave you whatever you desire.
She's a runner, she's a track star. She gon' run away when it gets hard. She can't take the pain, she can't get scarred. She hurt anyone that gets involved. Don't wanna commit, why take it this far? She gon' do the race, just not this one. Love is a game you used to cheer for. When I was down to talk, you weren't here for. You woo-woo-woo. Leave a trail of heartbreak and heartache like it cool. I guess way too late, it's convenient for you. The dirt you left don't turn into dust, it don't move. It's been waiting for you. From all the problems like she in shape for it. Hard times, wait for it, and then she break for it. Love don't cost a thing, ashamed how much I pay for it. Love don't cost a thing, ashamed how much I gave for it. Heartbroken into pieces, but tape on it. Fragile, made out of glass, close the drapes on it. Trust issues, so deep, play and safe on it. Will I ever love again, or will I stay lonely? Lost for words, let it hurt.
Setting my heart on fire, setting my heart on fire.
Put you first, show you your worth.
Gave you whatever you desire, gave you whatever you desire.
She can't take it. She can't take it. Oh yeah.
He ain't catching that bitch. She gone. She run the mile four flat.
You got to teach him a thing or two about that.
You ain't gonna catch him, Mooski. She took off on you, bruh. Mooski, Val. However the fuck you pronounce your name, dude. This beer already has me like buzzing. It's been like three sips.
Oh, man. I can't carry you down the stairs, so you're gonna have to.
Downstairs is easy. Upstairs got that fatigue on your ass.
Now, are you a big Rolling Stones fan?
Huge, are you? But Brian Jones, Rolling Stones.
Well, that was only like 2-3 years. I guess it was like five years.
He was a genius, man. I mean, I love the Rolling Stones, don't get me wrong. But they fucking killed him, man.
did the mob?
No.
It was mob shit. True. Right?
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's a whole other episode.
Yeah. Brian Jones.
The king of Monterey Pop.
The king?
Yeah, they were calling him. He was going around with a patent leather patchwork robe, guiding people in and out of the, you know, LSD tents.
So you think Mick had something to do with it? So that he could be like the head.
Yeah.
Because when we think of the Rolling Stones, we think of Mick Jagger as the head.
Look up the conspiracy theory behind
there's a lot
the
going.
Death of Jimi Hendrix.
Somebody was just telling me about that.
Yeah,
actually,
you didn't know the whole story
where did this come from? Because somebody was just telling me about this.
One of his security guards, the ambulance on the scene, It said it was obviously a struggle. It looks like someone was holding him down while pouring wine down his fucking gullet.
Right. You know,
they let him pass out and choked him.
They did it to Marilyn.
And what happened to his girlfriend? Threw the bitch off the roof. She didn't jump. They threw that bitch. Because she was the only one next door in the other room.
FBI used to do crazy shit like that back in the day.
Oh, no. Lenny Bruce. They say it was his manager.
Lenny Bruce, they did that too, man. They stuck their hands on him. They pulled his pants down. It's like, why would his pants be down? Like that doesn't even make sense. There's nobody else in the room.
Dude. I saw that gorgeous, beautiful documentary, Echoes Through the Canyon.
Right. Yeah.
About
Laurel Canyon.
Oh, Laurel Canyon.
Yeah.
There's a book about the CIA and LSD and the Unabomber and all that shit going down at the same time and how they were developing the music and the movement coming out of there to control the mind of the youth.
I mean, if that's the case, then they failed miserably.
They succeeded because everything's gone their way.
Well,
they
all the boomers
clinic in the Hate Street a few months ago. Once these stories started coming out,
they were dosing people.
Yeah. Midnight Climax. Look that up.
Can I volunteer?
No. They closed up shop and they took off out of the Hate a few months ago.
Disappeared without a trace.
After being there since, when did it open? The Summer of Love.
67. Now, Brian Jones, another member of the 27 Club. Now,
yeah,
curated. Who's not a member of the 27 Club? Charlie Watts. We lost maybe rock and the greatest drummer alive, possibly the greatest living drummer. I mean, Ringo's still alive, and I've come around to Ringo. Ringo is, you know, but Charlie Watts is,
yeah, man.
You know,
I shed a tear for him, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, 80 was 81
was last week, right?
Yeah,
came to esophageal cancer.
Yeah, man, it's pretty. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, you kind of just take him for granted. I mean, you know, he's so old, and they're still just playing all the time, you know. But he was the backbone of that band.
He was, and
not just because he was the drummer, but just
it's like me and Ringo, you know.
Yeah, but Ringo wasn't. I don't think John, Paul, and George looked to Ringo like
George
Mick.
Alive. George looked to him to lead the music, and I looked George to take me away, dude.
Right, but so good. But in the Rolling Stones, and when you read these interviews with Mick and Keith,
it's all about him.
It's all about
Charlie Watts.
They all they don't care. Like Mick and Keith don't care about each other so much as approval. You know, because whenever Mick would have a solo album or whatever, and Keith Richards would throw shade on it, just be like, yeah, it's, you know, it's derivative, it's poppy, it's stupid. Mick would always he would always just be like, well, Charlie liked it. Charlie loved it. You know?
Yeah, refer to him. Yeah.
It's hilarious, man. Charlie Watts was he revered jazz. He he loved jazz more than anything, right? Like that. He always wanted to be a jazz drummer.
Yeah.
But he never tried. He never threw it in a set, you know, randomly.
No, he just played rock and roll.
He always did his fucking job, and he always did it with flair, you know. And like we were talking about earlier, the quantization of music now, everything is 100% on beat, beat, on time, all the time. He was always on time, but he had that delayed backbeat. You know, I mean, Keith Moon with, you know, The Who was loud. He was the center. They would put him up front with everybody else, you know. Charlie Watts didn't mind being in the back. He liked it. He preferred it, you know. And, you know, when I was growing up, my dad would always talk about, because my dad was a drummer, he would talk about, you know, Charlie Watts. It was just weird because, you know, he never hit the hi-hat when he hit the snare, you know. He always goes off, which the first thing they tell you not to do, when you're getting taught.
What's the name of that off-beat, on-beat, four-on-the-floor rhythm? What is it called?
Syncopation?
Syncopation. He plays syncopation.
Well, you know, he always loved, Chico Hamilton, and he always wished he were, right? But, yeah, but you never saw it. But you would hear inflections, right, in his playing. That when the Stones continue to tour without him, they'll have, I don't know who they have, I forget who it is, but I'm sure he'll be good, but it's not going to have that same. It's not even mistiming. Although I guess if you were putting it in a computer,
yeah,
in a Pro Tools thing, or
it's all mathematical.
It would be exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I mean, shit, Beethoven. Was it Beethoven that did the quote? It's not the beat and the hit, the note that you hear. It's the space between the notes, the music not played, that creates that harmony.
Yeah, it's Lisa Simpson in the Simpsons. it's true.
Quote unquote Lisa Simpson.
Yeah. It's Beethoven by way of Lisa Simpson. But okay, so like a great example is off of was this Sticky Fingers? Can't you hear me knocking? I'm just gonna play this just cause, like, just a little bit of it, just to like fully appreciate.
Okay.
You know, I mean, every drummer can hear it, and they know it's weird, but it's quintessential Charlie. And there's just nobody that's gonna do that anymore. I mean, people might try, but anyway, this is a Can You Hear Me Now? No, okay.
Woo!
It's almost late.
Yeah. Oof.
Yeah.
Oh, four notes in one half, dude. Get out of here.
Yeah, you got satin shoes. Yeah, you got nasty boots. Y'all got.
He plays that snare fast and loose, baby.
No, I'm not the like a diehard Stones fan. You know, I was always more like, people always say Stones or Beatles, right? And but yeah. I would always say Zeppelin or Stones.
People also forget the Kinks.
The Kinks, yeah, yeah, you know, the Kinks, the, you know, sure, yeah, you know. But in terms of volume though, it is Stones and Beatles, right?
Yeah.
Although Zeppelin had a great, you know, 10-12 year run. But Charlie Watts though, man. It's just so. It's almost impossible. It's hard to describe, especially me not being a drummer. But like, but you know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
And it's just pure. I don't want to say just pure balls, because it's not John Bonham.
It is.
It's not Keith Moon. It's not John Bonham.
It's not.
Who I love. It's something else. It's flair. I think that's what it is. It's
the
pure style. It's a stylist.
He just has. He is music.
Yeah.
You know?
And just doing it, too. And, you know, he treated
he
it
plays
like
it
like
ice cold, dude.
Yeah. It's funny you say that, because I was just reading an interview with him from, like, I don't know, it was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a 60-year-old man 20 years ago, but still, like, he was saying, like, it's tough. Like, it's not easy. He has to ice his elbows and his arms after a show, like a major league pitcher does.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, it's, and he's not smashing it.
Best part about him is he was always the best. Dressed man.
Always.
In the room.
Always.
Everyone says that about
Charlie.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. If he was going to have a fight with you, he's going to put on a coat and tie before he does it.
Yeah.
He comes downstairs and screams at
you. Yeah, yeah.
But he is just, it's just nice to see, you know, I think that's a big reason why the Stones were able to stay together as long as they were. Because Mick Jagger and Keith Richards have huge personalities, obviously.
Yeah, he's just the backbone of the beat.
And exactly, they're not aiming for them. Like, they're not aiming for their own approval. They're aiming for his approval.
That's right.
And he was the chillest, and seemingly, I mean, the chillest guy. Married to the same woman for like 50 something years.
Steady
years.
Dude.
Yeah, dude.
Steady hand.
Yeah.
An opinion you trust.
Yeah.
It's rare to find that.
Very
in life.
Rare.
Rare. You find that teacher. You find that guide. I've had my muses, but that guy, man.
Yeah, the professor.
Thousand-yard stare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, so, yeah, rats off and shouts out to Charlie Watts, man.
Rest in peace, bro. He can rest now. No need to ice those elbows. He's playing at the pearly gates. St. Peter don't let him by, dude.
He's definitely the starting drummer.
He wants a concert before he gets past those gates.
You know, I love John Bonham. I love John Densmore also, too, you know, but yeah, there's something about Charlie Watts I don't know, it's simplicity and dirty and jazzy. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what, let's play a little bit of the Bob Dylan, since it coincides with the era and the mood. And
longevity.
Yeah, let's do a little Lebowski Bob Dylan.
Oh, sure. The Man in Me?
Yeah, everyone loves this track.
I'm feeling this track
right now.
Yeah, let's get it going. We're just going back to back here.
New Morning album.
This song's gonna really get me going. I'm gonna have to watch Lebowski tonight, man.
Myself, I might not take it anymore. Take a woman like your kind to find the man in me. But oh, what a wonderful feeling just to know that you are. That's my heart a-reeling from my toes up to my ears. The man in me will hide sometimes to keep from being seen, but that's just because he doesn't want to turn into some machine. Take a woman like you to get through.
Were you just watching The Big Lebowski or something?
Yes.
I love it. I mean, I love it.
I always just watch The Big Lebowski.
No, yeah, exactly. I'm gonna the bowling scene.
Yeah, no, it's just Bob Dylan's ringing true in my head. Obviously,
I'd like to think that we're influencing each other. I brought shoegaze, and last time you brought Neil, and now you're bringing Bob. I mean, I love it, man. It's my bread and butter right there.
Spread over too much bread.
Rye bread.
Oh, shit. I have so many tracks here.
Should we field an email here?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, because we got a few since... remember, email us at mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave a comment on the Podomatic. Can you comment on Apple iTunes? For some reason, the Apple Podcast app is being a little weird
now. It's not communicating properly.
Yeah, they deleted our artwork. Spotify is still going strong, so I don't really know what's going on with Apple. We'll get into it. If you can't find us on Apple for some reason, well, you already found us. You're already listening, so yeah. Yeah, we got Clara Lockett. She says, do you remember the first CD you ever got?
From myself?
I guess. I don't know. First CD.
Could have
been given to you, I guess. I don't know.
There's Columbia House stuff.
Yeah, did you have the subscription? You get, you buy one, you get like...
Nah, they just sent shit.
Yeah. I still owe them like eight CDs.
Illegal downloads.
No. Before that. Before Napster.
Let's say, you know...
You don't remember?
Shit. The first CD.
CD, yeah. I mean, I definitely had tapes. I remember getting tapes from like the warehouse and stuff.
The first vinyl that
I
picked.
Think I remember my first CD.
The first vinyl I picked for myself was The Tokens in the Jungle. I was like 4 or 5 years old.
Really?
I want that one.
In the Jungle?
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do.
Yeah, dude, The Tokens. I would love The Tokens, man.
You didn't have a CD player like in the 90s?
I stole my CD player from my brother.
Yeah.
And I remember the first CDs I stole from him to play while I was at school was Megadeth.
Oh, yeah.
Sepultura and Metallica and Morrissey's Bone of Drag. I would say Morrissey's Bone of Drag was the first one I listened to on repeat, when the repeat button was still a switch on the inside of
it was an actual switch.
The CD player, or you have to pull the lens all the way back.
What?
The lens that reads the CD. If that switch wasn't working, you could physically move the lens like it was a diamond tip.
What?
You didn't know this?
How do you do that without opening the...
No, because the lens is poking from the bottom, reading the CD while it spins.
Yeah.
And it
are you
moves.
Talking about like a Walkman, or are you talking about like a stereo?
A Walkman.
Yeah, a portable.
Yeah. So you would open up the case, take off the CD player, move the lens over manually, put the CD back in, it would repeat the album.
Couldn't you just...
If your reset wasn't working.
Oh, that's insane.
I still have that.
I got... it was... I got the Preservation Hall Jazz Band recordings. I didn't know who they were, but it was... And like it was like a Mozart thing. I think it was free. It came with it.
Yeah.
And it's like 94, I want to say. Blew my fucking mind. I mean, we've talked about that before. And then I had the pleasure of actually seeing the Prez Hall in New Orleans a few years back. And it was just like full circle. Completely blew my mind. But then I bought an Elton John Greatest Hits CD from McDonald's.
That's what you do.
Back in, I want to say 94, 95.
Yeah.
CDs were like, you know, they're still kind of newish, I guess.
Expensive.
And McDonald's
$40.
Dude, like McDonald's had like three that you could choose from. I should have looked this up.
I think you told me this.
I forgot. One of them was Elton John. Another one was, I think it was Garth Brooks.
Okay.
And there was a third one. There was a third one. Oh man, I can't remember. Maybe it was like Gloria Stefan.
I was gonna say Gloria Stefan. Because who told us that story?
Probably XR, maybe.
XR.
She's too young for that.
No, she told us that story about she had a McDonald's Gloria Stefan CD.
Really? It's pretty funny, man. And then I loved that Elton John CD, you know. My parents probably thought I was going to, you know, grow up to be a little different, but I guess I did. And then I got that, the Columbia House subscription. You, like, sign up and they send you, like, 10 free CDs.
Yeah.
You're supposed to, you're, like, under contract to buy, like, 10 more at full price.
I was contracted.
Never bought them.
For days.
Nobody ever bought them. I remember getting like Pearl Jam, Nirvana, you know, Alice in Chains, Ugly Kid Joe. I think there was like a loss. I think it went to the Supreme Court, right? Like maybe it was like 10 years ago or something. And then they threw them all out because they're like, yeah, you can't, like these are minors. Like these are children. Like, you know, you can't make a contract with a child.
No.
That's so good.
Shit, we're playing that kind of sound. Let's do. You like the Vikings? Still Vikings?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. You know this song. I was harmonizing the other day and I realized I'm getting my normal voice back. And this is the song I did it to. It makes me happy. It was the Del Vikings.
Let's go.
And it's Come Go With Me.
Come Go With Me.
You'll know it.
All right.
Dom 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 doodly dom dom doodly dom 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 doodly dom 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 doodly dom wah 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 wah.
Turn up, love, love you, darling. Come and go with me, come go with me. Way beyond the sea, I need you, darling. So come go with me. Come, 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 come into my heart. Tell me, darling, we will never part. I need you, darling. So come go with me. Yes, I love you. Yes, I really need you. Please say you never leave me. Well, say you never. Yes, you really never.
Never give me a chance.
Come, 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 come into my heart. Tell me, darling, we will never part. I love you, darling, so come go with me. Yes, I love you. Yes, I really need you. Please say you never leave me. Yes, I'll never. Yes, I really never.
Never give me a chance. Doobie-doobie.
Love, love you, darling. Come and go with me. Come, go with me. Way beyond the sea. I need you, darling. So come go with me. Come on, 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 go with me.
What? Wait, where's the Hive Note part?
Well, you're expecting it, but it's not in that version.
Yeah.
That's still Vikings.
Are you ready to do? I think we can learn that. I can do the... Come and go with me to ball.
And he skyrockets with the high note.
Yeah. What is that, like a studio version or something?
That's the album version. This is a studio.
Sure changed me. I was waiting for that high
version
part.
With the duetting with the sonnets.
I love that, man. That's great.
And it later came out as just the Vikings.
The Vikings. See, I didn't know that. That's some good trivia right there.
That's know the song. Playing, that's when they were playing like louder versions of their EPs. More rock and roll. That's more of like a sonnet. That's more of like a poem.
You got to roll with the times, you know. Yeah. Music got louder.
Yeah, I mean, kids were looking to swing, not slow dance, so.
You got to twist and shout.
Yeah. It is what it is.
Now, I know you know Leon Russell, but do you know Leon Bridges?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have you heard the new album? I guess it's newish now. It's a couple months, but still. Man, he's great. You know, I remember him back when, I feel like it was, I don't know, 2017 or 2018. He had an album called Good Thing.
Okay.
I don't think it was his first, but that's like when I kind of get into him. And then I sort of like rediscovered him again.
Master
like,
guitarist, right?
He's just I think, I don't know about master, maybe, but he's just a great musician.
A lot
great
of wah
singer.
Wah.
No, although he did, so he made the album with Crewing Bin. It's an EP, and we played Crewing Bin a few episodes ago.
Okay.
That's all like instrumental sort of psych funk.
Yeah, the funk guitar. With the
that's
wah, wah,
a lot of wah,
wah.
Yeah.
Waka he, waka wah wah.
Yeah. And he's on that Texas Sun
a lot of
EP.
Pedal.
Yeah, yeah, but that's not really him. He, you know, he's more like, I don't know, it's hard to sort of classify, more like... I don't know. Soul, rock, anyway. The EP Motorbike came out a couple
There's
months
no
ago.
There's no delta in his blues, is what you're saying.
Well, he's from Texas, but he recorded this latest album at the Gold Diggers Hotel. Okay. and it's called Gold Digger Salon. But the song Motorbike, it's just it hooked me, man. It was one of those things too when I was listening to like a lot of new releases, and you know everything seems kind of flat. And then I heard this song, I was like, oh man, that's different, you know. And then I was like, oh yeah, you know, Leon Bridges. I kind of forgot about.
I've seen Leon Bridges live.
Really?
Haven't I?
You have? That's impressive.
Who did I go with? Wasn't he maybe you did Fillmore?
Maybe you did. Yeah, I feel like this was like a few years ago when he had that album, and I kind of just like lost touch.
Yeah, I know I've seen him live.
Well, anyway, this is a Motorbike from the new album Gold Digger's Sound.
We don't stop, but the time do. Love is in another life, let me remind you. Look back, see me behind you. When it feels good, you don't have to try to. And if you say so, if you say so, then let's go. I know you're all that I want is in to match you. What do I gotta do to get you? On the back of my motorbike, switch lanes, 29, ooh, it's whatever you like, ooh. On the back of my motorbike, write your name in the sky, ooh, it's whatever you like. We can ride.
Exactly who introduced me to him. We used to work with a cat named Quentin. And yeah. My favorite guy, he loved playing both race cards. He's like, hey, this is Leon Bridges, man. This is really good soul. And this is like, bro, it's a new guy trying to sell old soul. I'm not buying it.
No, I'm buying it.
He eventually grew into his shoes, so.
So he just had to put out a couple more albums for you to.
He's a little too light in the loafers with his voice, though.
No, listen to the rest of the
album.
It's good.
It's a little flat.
I'm playing this song because this is the hit, man. This song is legit. The melodies,
it's good.
The instrumentation,
but his soul's a little flat.
I don't know about that. It's a different world, you know. Yeah, he's not. You know, he doesn't have three mistresses beating his wife and then you know drinking a fifth of Jack to the Dome every night. You know, he's not banging hookers, and I mean, I don't know, maybe he is, but it's a different time now, you know.
I was watching a movie called Reminiscence. Good movie. Who's the guy that plays
Wait, is this the Hugh Jackman movie?
Yeah,
dude. Really? Okay, yeah. Maybe it gets better. Tried watching it.
It does.
I never turn a movie off.
I hate noir. This is very noir.
It's not noir.
It's noir with time travel.
This is going to be a vintage mostly music here because I gotta. Okay, continue.
It's poorly
executed
noir. I love noir, but it's good.
Is it no? It seemed like it wanted to be Minority Report so bad in the beginning.
It wanted to be Inception meets Minority Report meets Primer.
You know, Primer is legit. That actually, you always hated that movie. Hopefully you've come around to that.
I like
we've had a
Primer,
best time travel movie,
but I think Primer was oversold. The acting was
oversold. The guy,
He's a genius.
Shane Carruth, yeah.
He shaped time travel for film. I get it.
Wrote it. He produced it. He starred in it. He edited it.
They used him for Interstellar, and Interstellar for me was a huge hit.
All right. Okay. All
okay.
Right.
So, because
Interstellar
of
wasn't
him,
it, but there are a lot of problems with Interstellar.
They were
anyway.
So, because of him, he made time travel better movies. You know,
Christopher Nolan.
No, the guy that made Primer.
Oh, Shane Carruth. He's only made like three
movies. I know,
movies
but they use him as consultation.
Oh, really?
Interstellar, and they used him for...
Did they really?
The Bruce Willis time travel one.
Looper. Yeah, that was good.
They licensed him for Looper.
I like that one. Yeah, that's the... Yeah.
They licensed him for Looper. Sorry.
I don't know. All right, well, I'm going to... I mean, if that's true...
I was trying to reiterate because...
All right, sorry. No, I cut you off because...
No slurring.
No, because that movie, I was bored to tears with that movie. Reminiscence. But continue. Sorry.
Okay.
I want to hear because I didn't finish.
The soundtrack was amazing. I love the soundtrack.
Okay.
With noir, I hate noir unless it's
noir
unless it's David Lynch.
Maybe that's why. Maybe
unless
we're coming
Chinatown.
From it, two different places. No, noir.
Like that movie.
That's
Brick.
Neo-noir. That's
I almost threw a brick at my TV.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Hate
you know.
That movie. Reminiscence reminds me of a lot of the hologram scenes in the movie Blade Runner 2049.
Okay.
And along with that comes a visceral, visual, tangible dream sequence of music, of lounge, soul, and jazz.
You didn't, but Blade Runner was good.
Very. That's a masterpiece.
They treated it right, and
Ridley Scott knew what he was doing. Vangelis is on point with Blade Runner.
So I didn't really look at the music. I wasn't really thinking about it in
This is Rebecca Ferguson. Nothing's Gonna Hurt You, Baby.
Is this from the
original soundtrack?
All right.
Reminiscence.
You're gonna bring me back in. I'm gonna give it another shot.
Whisper something in your ear. It was a perverted thing to say. But I said it anyway. Smile and look away. Nothing's gonna hurt you, baby. As long as you're with me, you'll be just fine. Nothing's gonna hurt you, baby.
That's it. It's a short scene. Short
sequence. So that's the actress from the movie, right? Yeah. She's like a lounge singer.
Ooh, almost like Blue Velvet.
She was I was watching. I was like, I don't know who she is. Like, she looks familiar.
Yeah,
but I didn't know who she was. She's like a Swedish actress, I guess, or something, right?
Sweet to me.
All right, I guess I got to give it another shot.
A woman's croon will break a man's heart.
That's very 90s. That's very Fear soundtracky. You know when they do like the Wild Horses cover?
Oh, yeah dude.
On the roller coaster scene. Yeah.
Wild Horses.
That's really good.
Drag me away.
That scene, dude, on the coaster, man, at the fair. It's dude. That's so good.
People forget who actually did that song best.
Well, I know you're not going to say Graham Parsons. I know. Yeah, you're going to say the Stones.
Graham Parsons, I can't go there. Today.
Didn't he write that with Keith Richards? Didn't they write it together?
I don't know that
I think
part.
They wrote that song together, I'm pretty sure. Almost certain. There's like an old... acoustic Graham Parsons album where he's playing that.
I'm gonna make the mistake of
not speaking into the microphone. She was in Dr. Sleep, I think, too.
Oh, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She played the Rose or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great cowboy hat.
Yeah, it's right there.
Dude, it's a great movie. So dirty, perverted.
Yeah, it's the thing with Stephen King. It's like, the movies are always okay. Although,
he hates most of his films.
Well, when he doesn't have control over them. Like The Shining, he had no control, and he said that he claimed that he hated it, although it's one of the greatest movies ever made. But you know, what are you gonna do?
Well, you know, Stephen King's.
Well, this is something
he got hit by a van.
Hot take. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Stephen King is the modern day William Shakespeare.
Yeah, I'm not gonna argue that.
Okay. All right. I like that. You know, Shakespeare in his time was pulp. It was for the masses. It wasn't high art.
Yeah. It's word salad.
If you told Shakespeare in his time that school kids were gonna be studying his plays, he would have laughed in your face. Mud, yeah. Exactly. And now he revered as like the greatest, you know, he's like the greatest playwright to ever live.
Or playwrights.
Everything is derivative of some kind of Shakespeare play. Every one of his plays has been made into a movie.
Or she.
Whatever. Okay. If Shakespeare was...
Gwyneth Paltrow, Shakespeare was
one person. She was just trying to be an actor, though. She wasn't writing the damn thing in that movie. Back then, women weren't allowed to be actors.
You shut your mouth.
So she put her hair up. Okay. Stephen King. Okay. Shakespeare, every one of his plays became a movie. And is still being made to this day. Stephen King... Every single damn book he's ever written, they've made into a movie. And not just any movie, like generally successful movies, even his short stories, Shawshank Redemption, you know, The Green Mile.
Yeah, Get Busy Living or Get Busy Dying, Shawshank Redemption.
Carrie, The Shining, Christine, The Langoliers.
Sleepwalkers.
You know, Children of the Corn. Yeah, man, dude. Everything.
Stand By Me?
Short stories, man, exactly, dude. Exactly. So in 200, 300 years from now, are we going to be looking... Are we living in the age of a giant and we just take him for granted?
Yes.
Yes. All right. I thought I was going to get some resistance.
No.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm a big fan of Stephen King.
He's a genius.
Well, his Tower series, The Sun has to help him with...
The Dark Tower?
Yeah. So Stephen King has come out with quoting that he's created this world and it's all... In the same world, and every story is related.
What?
Yeah, it's stories within stories while watching TV about a guy reading the story back to you, reaching out, grabbing you. It's fucking meta before meta was meta. Wow. Stephen King was pimping before pimp was pimping.
Wow.
And he ain't simping.
And he ain't stopping either.
No.
I mean, it is like, it was like the biggest
kill him with the van
franchise.
On the side of the road.
Exactly, same thing.
Yeah.
He was a huge cokehead. He snorted enough coke to kill a horse. And then after that, I think
the story about
how
he got found. He was writing a story. He's like, I can't do this. Fuck this. He gave up. Coke bender, smoke, cigarettes, beer, drunk as fuck, tosses the story in the trash. His wife's like, don't give up, don't go. Cleans up his space. In the trash, he pulls out and submits this unedited version of Carrie.
Really?
Yeah. And that was his first breakthrough hit as a film.
Wow. And then he wrote Misery, I think, when he was recovering.
Yeah.
Because he was like in a podcast.
Cujo in that fucking... Yeah. He doesn't even remember... He doesn't remember writing Cujo.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's like, I didn't write that. Like, yeah, you did. You wrote Cujo. I'm still scared of Rottweilers and rabid, foaming at the mouth, barking dogs. I don't know.
The man is a genius. He's a living legend. We should all go to Derry, Maine and just give him a hug.
Derry, Maine, dude.
Isn't that where it is? Yeah.
He writes all about Maine.
Yeah, it's always Maine. Dreamcatcher.
Needful you know? Things.
Yeah.
Fuck, that Gerald movie still Game. Fucks with Needful, my head.
Dude, Needful Things is crazy. Is that, that's where the devil owns a pawn shop or something, right? Yeah,
dude, the Langoliers, bro. The Stand.
The Stand.
They just remade the series The Stand.
That's right. Have you seen it?
Oh, twice.
All right, I got to dip in. I got to get back in.
Twice.
Into it. Like when we were growing up, they would have these made for TV miniseries from all this, like a bunch of Stephen King books.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. It was like an event on ABC.
Oh yeah,
they even redid The Shining. Remember, and like Stephen King directed it. It was like a big. I didn't watch very good
that
with what was his name, Stephen Weber.
Okay, I'll put that on my list.
It was. I think it was fine. I remember I was stoked though. You know, I was like reading the book. I was probably like, I don't know, 13 or something. And I was all like super stoked.
I want to go back to shoegaze.
All right. Yeah, that's actually good. You know,
because Sunny Day Real fitting. Estate, you weren't quite a fan of.
Yeah, you liked I'm indifferent.
But
yeah,
it made you, it put them, you put them in the timeline of early 2000s when they are in truth early 90s. And they are the godfathers of what we consider emo.
Yeah, I consider them emo. Early 90s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Diaries. If you've never played it, late 80s, early 90s, if you never played Diaries, go to Amoeba, buy that shit, and say goodbye to the living, because you're going to slit your wrist. That's how good Sunny Day Real Estate
Tape
is.
Up your wrists, go buy the album, and then bind yourself. I don't know. Have a friend bind you.
Go put hospital mittens like you're in a coma. That's another story. Don't hurt yourself. Every Shining Time You Arrive by Sunny Day Real Estate.
We could not control. Oh, and all the
really good.
Yeah. It's good. Softer. I mean, I think he sings like Christian music now.
Real.
He fell off for a long time. Diaries definitely is the album, I guess. That'll change your life.
Diary, that's their first album?
It's their biggest album.
Yeah.
Diaries. No, it's good, man. It's very good. Listen to a lot of that while being laid up.
This is like emo, though. You shouldn't be listening to this. You should be listening to nothing but James Brown and
Frank Green. I tried, but you know, you fall into old habits. Shit. I was getting a lot into Cold Wave and goth and stuff, too, again. You know, people come in like, oh, that's the music you like, huh? And I look at them and be like, I like old music. You know what I mean? It's weird, man, when you're...
Oh, that's the music you like.
Yeah. When, like, you're sitting in a hospital bed and you can't even speak and your mind becomes unhinged. You're not lucid at all, dude.
You're just going, you're just
I'm
all over the place.
I'm sitting there misreading text and tones and, you know, you're paranoid and you don't know if you're dreaming or sleeping.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
It's fucked up, dude.
You're all drug-induced.
Drugs are leaving your system. Like, it'd wake up sometimes and you don't know if you're still asleep or awake, so you're ultra paranoid.
Did you get any alien encounters, anything like that? Any sort of subconscious beaconing or anything like that?
It was weird, but no, even after I left the hospital, this is considered normal behavior.
Yeah.
You're misreading text messages. And you can almost hear the person's voice in front of you.
Whoa.
And you think you're hearing tonality, so you get ultra aggressive with your responses. And then people will text you back and say, what are you talking about?
Oh, shit.
I was just saying, I'm like, I am so sorry.
Does that have something to do with the anesthesia? And it's, like, when you're dreaming, you can't read or write, right? That's like a, like, as you dream, dude, with like one part of your brain. And
so they showed me a stack of papers that I had written a few days out of waking up. And I was writing shit down, like, I see future things, so-and-so, people are on the roof, they stole my car. I think someone touched me while I was sleeping.
I'm not mad, but I just want to know his name.
Yeah. You know, next time, cry into me first. And
bring me some Jell-O first, Jesus.
Dude, fantasized about half-frozen Jell-O for like a week and a half. Then they gave me ice chips.
As if you were giving birth.
Dude. I don't even know. This is, I have to do one more track. You heard of the band The War on Drugs?
Yeah, of course. We played them before.
Do we play Thinking of a Place?
No. I think we played Red Eyes.
Let's play Thinking of a Place.
Yeah.
Cause this
they have a new album?
I don't know. Made it on my playlist randomly. I don't know how it got there.
Yeah. No, I like them
but
a lot.
I know I heard it.
I think Kurt Vile was started out with that band, didn't he? And then like quit like in the very beginning or something like that. I want to say so. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Unless you, what do you want to play?
No, play it. Yeah, let's go. I want to hear it. Yeah, I like The War on Drugs. I haven't listened to it in a while. What's this called?
Thinking of a Place.
Thinking of a Place.
above had flown. There was pain in your eyes, though you vanished in the night. Missouri River in the distance, so a light upon the lawn. I remember walking against the darkness of the beach, love is like a ghost in the distance of a reach. Through the night, 'cause there is no fear. Alone but right behind, till I watch you disappear. I'm moving through the dark of a long black night, just moving with the moon in the light it shines.
Young Bob Dylan duetting with a matured Santana, you get that track. And it just reminds me, you know, when you're gone, the regret for me would have been leaving some things unsaid, but then some things you never should say. Really? Fuck yourself.
Oh, yeah. You can't put the genie back in the lamp.
You can't put the toothpaste stopper back in the low spark. He keeps pushing on, man. There's no stopping this boat now.
Can't keep a good man down.
I left the harbor. I don't come back without the big fish.
I'm the harbor master, so yeah, I'm gonna pull you back in. All right, you've gone past international waters.
Yeah, now it's time for a monkey knife fight.
Yeah, monkey knife fight, minus the bear. Okay, maybe next week.
No, that's a scene out of the Simpsons episode. When they hit international waters, Homer Simpson has a monkey knife fight.
I thought you were talking about...
Shark versus bear?
No, minus the bear.
Minus the bear.
The band from early 2000s. I love that band.
Yeah,
I loved one album, and it was amazing. It's a great album. I saw them live once, and this is great. It's why, you know, I always kind of forget about the War on Drugs, and then it's got to be the worst name for a great band.
It's the worst. Well, I was having my own War on Drugs, man, because I don't like drugs.
Yeah.
I don't like the effect they have on the brain.
Yeah.
And I already am not a very lucid person.
You don't need it.
I live somewhere between reality and dreams and shit music. And they pump you full of fucking coma meds. And it takes months for it to get out of your system. When are you going to be lucid again? It sucks.
Are you still... You're still in a coma daze. Is that what you're saying?
I'm still a little hazy. It's weird. Yeah. Like... it's hard for me to recall shit.
Little
shorthand, you know?
That's normal, though, right? I'm sure they...
I had a little fit of rage, like, 3 days ago. It's not me, man.
Really?
I'm usually really shameful about personal shit, but... Because I couldn't, like, really move on my own a few days ago.
But that's all normal, right?
Pure exhaustion and, you know, uncoordinated. I'm recovering.
Yeah.
But not being able to control the way the brain functions a little bit and misreading people's intentions. Like, it's almost like it magnifies the worst parts of you. You got to work around it. It's a hard obstacle.
Well, that's good because it sounds like it's a experience you don't want to go through again.
I think I needed a hard reset, and this is it.
Yeah, you got to blow in the cartridge on you right here. Yeah, old school style.
Well, it makes you take the worst parts of you and regurgitate it, and then,
or
like,
magnifies it. And,
yeah, and you have to digest it and process through escape.
It sounds like a bad trip, like when you trip too hard.
Yeah, you're like,
and complete loss of ego, complete loss of self.
Yeah, and you're left with the shame of who you are.
You're just a pile of pieces, and then you gotta hopefully, you don't think you'll ever come back. You gotta put yourself together again. And then afterwards, you're a better person.
You feel bathed.
Should be. Yeah.
Like John the Baptist, fucking.
You're more like Lazarus, I would say. I have one of those votive candles. I have a Lazarus votive candle. I should have pulled it out. It's there's still a bit of daylight here, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually pull it out in October, but you are the Lazarene.
I'm a biblical character.
John the Baptist. Nah, he got his head chopped off, right?
Worshipped his fucking head in some Judeo-Christian cultures, dude. Did you know that? They have paintings of his severed head.
I'm St. Ignatius, obviously.
Yeah.
You can be... I think you're Lazarus.
I think I'm the demon Lowspark.
Or you're Jairus' daughter. Didn't she? Yeah, Jairus' daughter also came back from the dead, right? There's a lot of zombies in that book. You know, there's a lot going on in there. Hopefully you turn out a little bit better. Your skin isn't peeling. You're not a leper. You seem okay. Your tongue is back to its almost normal shape.
Almost.
So ladies, get at him before it's completely gone.
Oh, I might be off the market.
TheLowspark@gmail.com. Do you have that? At the Low Spark Instagram. Yeah, that's
the Lows. Yeah. No, it's
mostly music podcast at gmail.com.
Yeah.
Are we gonna close it out here or
can if you want to. I got a close out track. Do you got one?
No, I don't. I was gonna play I have a few more, but we'll save them. I was gonna play El Chico by Chico Hamilton just because we were talking about Charlie Watts earlier. But
play that and I'll do an outro.
No, do the outro. All good. Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the spark episode. What's the name of this episode, by the way? Because I'm going to have to...
Should we just quote Stephen King?
Okay.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Is that Stephen King or is that 50 Cent?
No, that's from a Shawshank Redemption, Morgan Freeman. These are just pipe dreams, man.
I like it.
Either get busy living or get busy dying.
On that note, what are you going to play me right now?
Lebanon Hanover.
Oh, yeah.
Gallo Dance.
Alrighty, from San Francisco, California. I am Ignatius Palafox.
And I'm the Low Spark, luckily.
You were and still are, you bastard.
The reigning king of shame.
Play us out here. Yeah.
Quote unquote PS. Don't let shit go unsaid.
Cheers, man.
Cheers to that. Lesson of the day.
Mm-hmm.